Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
I just want to say it's just been a privilege to be able to share with you what God has put into my heart. You know, this is something that I've been walking out for several years now. And, you know, I knew that at some point in time, that there would be a day when God would just give me the words to articulate what he's put into my heart and into my spirit. And I'm just thankful that this is the timing that he has chosen for it to happen. And so I don't know about you all, I've had a good time. And I'm really excited about tonight. And next week, we are going to have our worship night. And we're going to be praying for peace of mind. We're going to be praying against depression. We're going to be praying against some of these mental struggles and mental strategies that the enemy might bring against us. And so you come on out for that. If you are walking in peace, that's great. And then you need to come and intercede for others. And bring a friend. Bring someone who struggles with depression or oppression. Or, you know, when we're believing that God's going to set them free next week. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's open up in a word of prayer. Let's get started. We're getting started a little late, but that's okay. I think that I was thinking that I might stop early anyway, so hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we glorify your name tonight. Oh, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our church and in our city and in the lives of your people. This is such a wonderful time for us to be alive. And I just thank you. I thank you for your peace in this place, and that your spirit is here with us. And Father God, I just pray that your revelation goes deep into our spirits, that these seeds of righteousness are sown deep and into good soil. Father God, I bind the enemy that would try to steal these seeds, and that I pray that they would just take root and that they would grow in the hearts of your people. And I give you praise and glory for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to start off with just a couple of fun things. So there was a new family that had just moved into town, and their son came to Sunday school but seemed very upset. His teacher asked him if anything was wrong, and the boy replied no, that he was going to go fishing, but his dad told him that he needed to go to church instead. The teacher was very impressed with the boy's parents and asked the boy if his father had explained to him why it was more important to go to church than to go fishing. So then the boy replied, "Yes, he did. My dad said he didn't have enough bait for both of us." After a church service on Sunday morning, a young boy suddenly announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." "Well, that's okay with us, but what made you decide that?" "Well," said the little boy, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, so I figured that it'll be more fun to stand up and yell than to have to sit and listen." That just struck a chord with me for whatever reason. I got to be here anyways. I might as well be the one talking, huh? One more. A married couple were arguing about who was going to make the coffee. The wife said that in the Bible, it says that men should make the coffee. And the husband asked, "Well, where is that?" And the wife opened the Bible and says, "Right here in Hebrews." Get it? Hebrews. And on that note, I wanted to make a correction. Last week, I gave a couple of scriptures in Hebrews that were wrong. And I knew when I said them, it's like, that's supposed to be Romans. Those are supposed to be Romans. But I don't know why I have no idea how they got switched over to Hebrews. But it was Romans 8, 26 and 27. And then Romans 8, 34, I had said that they were Hebrews. But if you look in the little parentheses, this is what happens when you're studying at 5 o'clock in the morning. Or 4 o'clock in the morning is what I, that's about the time, that's the time that I'm That's my devotional time, and that's the time when I don't have, you know, the world bombarding me. To try to do it after I get off work is just not okay. So doing it fresh in the morning, and sometimes you might get a little glitch there. And so I apologize. The scriptures are right there, Romans 8, 26 and 27, and then Romans 8, 24 or 34. I better quit while I'm ahead. I'm going to misquote it again. Those are all great scriptures. And so what have we learned thus far? We started off in Philippians 4, 6. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And we've stayed in Philippians 4, 6 for 2 weeks now. Lesson one, we learn how not to worry, but instead take everything to prayer, in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Last week, we learned how to pray with authority and then to give thanks for all he has done. That's the one thing about God's word, is that he wants us to take it at face value. You know, we can look, there are deeper meanings. God does have deeper meanings in the scriptures. But also, sometimes he just says, this is it. You know, all means all. Don't worry. Give thanks. That's what it is, you know. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. It's pretty plain, pretty straightforward. And that's what he wants us to do. And to give thanks for all he has done. Once again, all means all. We learn that as believers, we can pray as rightful sons and daughters of God and to make our petitions known through our prayers. Not praying randomly, but asking as a right and privilege of sonship made possible through Jesus. We also learned to pray in agreement with the Holy Spirit and Jesus to guarantee that we were praying God's will for our lives. How many of you know that that is definitely important? And so today, I've titled this last lesson, Peace for the Journey, because this is where we learn to live it. Because it doesn't do us any good. Our Bible doesn't do us any good sitting on a shelf. Our Bible does us good when we get it into our heart and we can live it out. And so that's what the goal of today's lesson is peace for the journey, so that every day we learn how to live and strive for peace. So let me ask you a question. How do we find true peace? We've always been told that we can walk in perfect peace, but how does that work on a practical level? It's one thing to read it in the Bible and to say that we see that we can have peace that passes all understanding, but it's another thing to live it out every day when life comes at us. This is what this series of lessons have been about. My prayer is that you will be able to take the truth found in God's word and apply it to your lives and to truly find the peace that only he can give. You know, a lot of times we find temporary peace once in a while. Getting away, going on vacation, going for a drive, but we come back home and there's all of our stuff sitting right there. There's all of our worries, our frets, our struggles. They're waiting for us when we get home. And so it's God's plan for us to live in peace and to live in his peace. And that means that while life is going on around us, we can have peace of heart, we can have peace of mind. Even if life comes at us, we know where we're grounded, to be grounded in his peace. So the definition of peace is freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, to be untroubled, to be tranquil, to be content, to sit in silence or stillness. That's what peace is defined as. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the kingdom of God. These are the hallmarks of our salvation. This is God's original intent for his children. When we say a sinner's prayer, everything opens up. It's not, you can have peace later on down the road when you've paid your dues. No, peace is intended for us as soon as we realize that we are children of God. God wants us to understand that peace and joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That is what we need to, that is what is available to us.
Peace is not meant to be a passing emotion, but a permanent state for us to live in. And so let's go back to our text, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. By the way, I'm being brave, and I'm going off my iPad today. But I have my notes right there just in case the technology goes haywire. I have 75% store of battery life, so I should be okay, but I got my little book right there just in case. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So now today, let's look at verse 7. Let's make our focus there tonight. Verse 7 says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Once again, this is a cause and effect type of scripture. When you don't worry about, when you pray about everything and give thanks, then you will experience God's peace. When you cast down worry and give thanks, give praise, give glory to God, the natural consequence or the natural effect is peace. Not just temporary peace, peace that exceeds anything we can understand. Peace that will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Let's look at this in the Amplified Version. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Isn't that powerful? Put that one on your mirror too. I have all these post-it notes on my mirror. The peace of God. Jesus told his disciples in John 1:10. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Having peace is part of that abundant life. This is what he left with them when he ascended into heaven. This same peace is available to us today if we do what the word of God says to do. You know, a lot of times we're like, okay, well, I'm saved. Where's my peace? Well, let's see. Do you still worry? Are you giving thanks? Are you giving praise? You know, it's like I said, it's a cause and effect. It's a this or that. It's not, I'm going to worry and I'm going to just, and that peace, you know, it should be here. No, that's entitlement. God says, if you cast your cares upon me, if you trust me, if you give thanks, if you give praise, then that peace will come. Why? Because we know that God's taking care of it. And that's our trust, but that's the problem. The problem is that sometimes as people, as humans, we have trust issues. That happens. And so we need to learn. That's part of the walk. We need to learn how to trust in God. So let's look at the early church for an example of how to live out the peace that God has for us. In Acts chapter 4, it says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Now, what's not mentioned here is that this is Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In Acts chapter 8, verse 3, is where it says that was right after Stephen got martyred. Acts chapter 2, the end of Acts. Oh my gosh, I'm having such a hard time with my numbers right now. Acts chapter 8, so it'd be Acts chapter 7, the end of Acts chapter 7. Stephen is martyred, and then Acts chapter 8 starts off by saying that heavy persecution came against the church. Not just persecution. It said that day, heavy persecution came against the church. But then we see in verse 4, it says the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. This is an effect of peace. This was a time of great turmoil in the New Testament church. Stephen had been martyred. Saul was on the rampage, arresting everyone. They had been driven out of Jerusalem. But the disciples of the early church had such a foundational peace that they were able to not only live out their faith, but to convince others to believe in Jesus as well. They weren't just hunkering down, waiting for the persecution to pass. They weren't just hunkering down, hiding out. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you know, I mean, you're not like going to say, hey, Paul, here I, Saul, here I am, you know. No, they weren't doing that, and they were avoiding, you know. Peter got, an angel released Peter from prison, and, you know, he didn't go back and preach in the market. Well, that time. There was one time where it's like he was gonna die, and so when the angel released him from prison, he went, nope, I got to get out of here. It's time for me to cut a trail. And he left, you know. He used wisdom. There was a time when they had to use wisdom. But it's not like they stopped preaching the gospel. They didn't dare stop. They couldn't stop because it was lit up inside them. It was a fire that was shut up inside them. And so they had to preach the gospel. But the thing that helped them along was that the peace of God was on them. And the peace of God comes from living a life in Christ and putting into practice what the Word of God says. The Apostle Paul gives us some insight into living a lifestyle of peace. And so let's go back into Philippians 4 and let's take it into the next two verses. And I want to dissect these two verses, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified Version, because there is so much. This is so, so rich. And this teaches us how to live a lifestyle of peace. So verse 8, Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word. And so what he's talking about is he's talking about the source of peace. It's always confirmed by God's word. The source of peace is the thoughts that are true and honorable, worthy of respect. Whatever is pure and wholesome, he's telling us to watch what goes into our heart and spirit. Whatever is lovely and brings peace, I looked up this word lovely. Lovely means acceptable and pleasing. And whatever brings peace, we need to stay away from those things that cause undue stress and anxiousness if we can. You know, sometimes there's things that we can't avoid. But then there's times when we place ourselves in turmoil. We place ourselves in a situation where it's like, okay, you know, this is really just causing me stress all the time, you know. and if we can avoid that, then that's fine. I understand we can't avoid it, you know. I have undue stress right now on my job. That's called the end of the school year. This is the longest, you know, the last 5-6 weeks of school. That's the longest 3 years of my life. And so, yeah. But the good news is that I don't do it alone. And so he's giving all this list, whatever's true, honorable, worthy of respect, right and confirmed by God's word, pure and wholesome, lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, which means moral excellence and always speaking well of others. You know, a lot of times we don't have peace because we're not watching what comes out of our mouths. A lot of times we don't have peace because, you know, sometimes if we're gossiping or if we're not speaking well of others, you know, why would we expect God's peace to dwell with us? You know, we need to be like Jesus in these things. This one, two. There it goes. Well, it's red, so I still am going to need a backup. I didn't turn it off. It's the anointing. Yes. Draining the battery. You better believe it. I'm telling you. We're back. Everybody get a chance to take a break, go get a drink, use the restroom. No, I'm just joking. All right, so we're picking it back up. He says, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. And this is why I chose the Amplified, because it says, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Implant them in your heart. Whatever is true, honorable, worthy of respect, right and confirmed by God's word. Whatever is pure and wholesome, lovely, and brings peace. You know, you want that stuff that brings peace. That's where we want to stay. Whatever is admirable and of good repute, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. We need to look back on the testimonies of God's goodness in our lives. If we're looking for peace, a lot of times we can find it in our testimonies. And if you can't find anything good in your life, go to the Bible and find a story that works out for good there. Someone said, if you can't find anything good in your story, go to his story. And you will always find peace. And you can always claim that. You know what, God, you came through for David, you came through for Esther, you came through for, you know, Peter, James, and John, you came through for the disciples and everybody else. You're going to come through for me. Revelations 19:11 says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And we can claim that. We can claim that peace. And we can claim peace in our lives. So now, verse 9, Philippians 4, verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is the Apostle Paul talking, practice these things in daily life. And the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. When you practice these things, that's a promise. When you practice these things, you put your mind on these things, you practice it in your daily life, then it works. Yes. And the God who is the source of peace. If you have Holy Spirit walking with you, you can't help but live in perfect peace. And so Paul is encouraging us to follow his example. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, I mean, all the stuff that he went through, you know. I don't have the scripture here, but, you know, the shipwrecks and the beatings and the, you know, the rumors and the prison and, you know, all of that. And he says we can live in perfect peace. He says peace can be yours. So if we haven't gotten to that amount of persecution yet. So I think we'll be okay. So then in verse 11, it says, for I have learned, Paul's saying, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. And in one translation, it says, I have learned to be content where I'm found, to live in contentment. And that's where peace comes from. It's not always striving for something else, reaching for something that's still unattainable, but living in the moment and being thankful in the moment and understanding that perfect peace can be mine. Going back to lesson number one, where Jesus said, what can worry do for you? Worry can do nothing. It's not going to add anything. Live for today and understand that God's got this. By putting these principles into practice, Paul has learned where to find that peace that passes all understanding. The source of our peace must come from God. Too many times we look to others for our peace. Too many times we look to others for our security. And there comes a point in time when it's like, you know what? People will let us down. People are good, you know, no matter how much my husband loves me, he is human. And at some point in time, over the last 37 years, he has let me down. And my peace cannot be drawn from him. My strength and security, and he does so much for me. But there are times when I have to go to God for peace. Why? Because that's how he created us. That's how it's supposed to be. So let's look at peace being a choice. Peace is a choice that we can walk in. As Christians, we can live a lifestyle of peace. And we need to remember that God is our loving Heavenly Father, and he will never ask us to do something that he hasn't already equipped us for. He hasn't already equipped us for. He's already planted seeds in our spirit. He's already told us. We know what the scripture is. We know what the Bible says. We know that somewhere in the Bible it says this. Did you know that you can go to Google and you can Google even just a part of a scripture and Google will bring it up? You know, that's one thing that I like about Google. And today's age of technology. It's like, you know what? All these scriptures, I have all these little pieces, parts in my brain. And so it's like, well, what about this scripture? You know, and I'll type it in. And here it is. And then I can read it in context. And then I can highlight it in my Bible. And then I know where it is. And I know exactly what God is saying. And so just as Google is equipped, God has equipped us. And those little seeds of righteousness are inside of us. And when the time comes, if we allow them, those seeds will spring up within our spirit. And then we'll say, oh, wow, I know how to do this. God has equipped me for this. And so today we're learning how to walk in peace. And so today you are being equipped to walk in peace. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, this is the last thing I want to say. Be strong in the Lord's strength. Put on the things God gives you to fight with. This is the New Living Version. And this is talking about putting on the armor of God. He says, put on the things that God gives you to fight with. Then you will not fall into the traps of the devil. Our fight is not with people. It is against the leaders and the powers and the spirits of darkness of this world. It is against the demon world that works in the heavens. Because of this, put on all the things that God gives you to fight with. Then you will be able to stand on that sinful day. And when it is all over, you will be standing. What is that sinful day? The day that sin comes against you. The day that you are bombarded. We can have every day be a sinful day. You know, the day that you're tempted to, you know, to not walk in peace. Those are the times when we need to be fully equipped with the armor of God. You know, John preached it on Sunday. A lot of times, you know, we're running around without our armor and then wondering why we're getting shot at. If we wake up in the morning, if we equip ourselves, if we make statements, if we put on the armor of God, then we know that we can withstand what God, anything that the devil may throw at us. And so to bring it into the realm of peace, Ephesians 6:15 in the same version says, wear shoes on your feet, which are the good news of peace. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. The good news of the gospel gives us what we need to have, gives us the shoes, the spiritual shoes, to walk in peace. Paul tells us to put on the armor, and this is a choice that we need to make every day. And peace is one of those choices. Just like we put on regular shoes every day to go outside or to do what we're going to do our business, we need to put on the shoes of peace so that we may be able to walk in peace. So that by how we walk in perfect peace can be the gospel on display. Why do you have such peace in your heart? Because I have Jesus in my heart. Why are you so peaceful right now? Because I have Jesus. And that's the gospel on display. And that opens up doors to witness. That opens up doors to just to show people what God has for them. Sometimes I have to, if I know that it's going to be an overly stressful day, as I'm putting on my shoes, I will say out loud, I will say in my spirit, or I will say it out, if I have to say it to myself, I'm putting on my shoes of peace. I will walk in peace today. I will walk in peace. And then what that does is that sets my mind on that, it gives me a peaceful mindset in order to step into the day. And now I know that I'm equipped to walk in peace. I know that I'm equipped to do that. And that Jesus is walking with me. When we choose peace, and when we put on peace every day, just like we put on our shoes. Our shoes are equipped to stomp our enemy with the peace of God. When we live in peace, the enemy has no foothold in our lives, making his torment worthless and ineffective. And we need to recognize that peace is an absolute promise for us to have here on earth. Okay? Have here on earth. Ephesians 1:22 says, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. That means now. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. See, God is in partnership with us. We are in partnership with him. God doesn't want, we've said this before, God doesn't want a bunch of little robots. God's not going to come. He can, but he would rather work it. He would rather empower us to take authority instead of us just say, oh, well, God, you take care of it. You know, what good does that do for our kids if we come in and we swoop in and take care of all their situations? You know, there they are, 30 years old, and it's like, oh, let me take care of that for you. We can't do that. We shouldn't do that. They're not going to learn how to function as adults if we continue to do that. There comes a point in time when my kids had to learn how to tie their shoes. They had to learn how to brush their teeth. They had to learn how to stand up for themselves. That's one thing that teaching high school now, I've moved from middle school up to high school. And that's one thing that we really are trying to instill in the high school kids, especially the freshmen, is that you need to advocate for yourself. You need to advocate. You need to go get your homework. You need to ask questions. You need to, if something, you know that, you know, teachers make mistakes. If you think that there was a mistake made on your grade, you need to go and advocate for that and not expect your parents to do that for you, you know. And it's those little bitty things like that, that eventually as we grow up, if we do it right, our kids will be successful adults. And so that's what God is looking at for us. He's looking at us to do that. And he's there with us, and he's there to help us. And then that way we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That way we can live life more abundantly. We can live in that abundant life. We can't just say, oh, wow, I wish I had abundant life. No, we can live an abundant life. We can give thanks and say, God, I thank you that my life is full. And yeah, although the devil's trying to hit me with this or trying to hit me with that, I can walk in peace. And I know that you are with me. You are with me. And I'm running into my husband's sermon again. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our peace comes from knowing that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and that his authority is our authority. Okay? Last week's lesson, his authority is our authority. He has given us authority over the enemy. And this means that when we fight for peace, we have already won. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. We always have a choice to choose worry or to choose to walk in God's peace. And we need to choose wisely. We need to make a choice. We feel worry, we feel dread, we feel fear coming upon us. There comes a point in time when we are either going to give in to it or we are going to stand against it. And if we give in to it, you know, we all know what happens when we give in to it. But if we stand against it, it may be a battle. That's why it's called fighting the good fight of faith. But if we stand against it, victory after victory, little by little, glory to glory, we gain ground and we learn. And we learn how to see those ambushes coming. We learn how to see those fiery darts coming and how to swerve and miss them, you know, instead of getting shot in the leg or whatever. So let's look at how to give it away. How do we give this away? I apologize. I had to take some sinus medicine today, and my throat is just dry. So anyways, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and God convicted me about just staying in my own little peace bubble. I got peace like a river, peace like a river. And in the midst of everyone else around me in turmoil. And God is giving us peace so that we can walk in peace, but he also gives us peace so that we can invite others into our peace, so that we could give that peace away, so we could speak peace over others. And the peace of God can be shared. You know, he didn't intend for us to walk alone. He didn't intend for us to do this by ourselves. Let's look at Jesus as our example. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you." These are Jesus' last words. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can be strength for others around us. We can be peace for others around us. When I first started this journey, I had this amazing encounter, actually these series of encounters with Holy Spirit. And it was a time in my life, several weeks, where I was just, you know, I felt half crazy, actually, to tell you the truth, because it was like, oh my gosh, does everybody? Nope, not everybody feels like this. This doesn't happen to just everybody. And so I was at work one time, and during this time period, I was at work, and we were in a meeting, and one of the teacher, my teacher friends was sitting in front of me, and I was standing behind her, and we were talking, you know, there's something going on. And I reached and I grabbed her hair. You know, she had real long hair. So I just kind of grabbed her hair and, you know, just kind of was playing with it like girls do, you know. And didn't think anything of it. We were done talking, went back to my room. A couple minutes later, she follows me into my room. And she said, "You know, I was sitting there, and when you touched my hair," she says, "I was overcome with just a feeling of peace." She goes, "I've never felt anything like that before." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's cool." And so from that day on, when she would be stressed and overwhelmed, she would come sneak into my room and she goes, "Can I have a hug?" And I say, "Yeah, come on. Let's, you know, let's give that peace away. Give that peace away. Let's share it." Instead of just staying in our own little peace bubbles, let's try to share it. Let's try to pray peace upon others. So, practical applications. We need to pray until peace comes. You know, we need to do what God has said to do, and we need to intercede for peace. Breakthrough in peace only comes from sitting at his feet and making the decision that you are going to give everything to him and that you trust him to take care of you and your situation. If we're going to hold on to things, that means that we don't think that God knows what he's doing. That means that we don't trust God and say, "Well, God, I trust you. Well, I have a backup plan just in case." No, we need to trust him. Release it to him. Release it to him and allow him. And sometimes that takes time and time again. That might take a few times to just say, "God, I trust you. God, I give you this, whatever it is. I give this to you. I give you my life. I give you my job. I give you my finances, my marriage, my kids, my situation. I give that to you." And that we feel it, when we feel that starting to come back, say, no, I gave it to God, and God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. Peace will come. Breakthrough will come when we continue to do that. Peace is fought for. It must be fought for. You know, we have to fight for it. And it's worth it. It's worth the battle. Let me tell you what. I have been in this last weekend and this week, last few days in school, have been rather stressful because of the situations that have happened in our community. And, you know, it's what is amazing is that I have felt his peace over my heart and over my life. And as I have, you know, teenagers coming in and they're talking to me and just chatting, you know, no real deep revelation or anything, just chatting. Some of them come in. And I had one girl today. She says, "Can I hug you?" I said, "Come on." Some people can't do that. Some teachers can't do that. Some teachers might lose their job for that. Thank goodness I work in a place where I won't lose my job for that. And if I do, I do, you know, because it's like, come here, let's, you know. I will hug them. I will minister to them. I will speak kind words to them and let them know that everything's going to be okay. We are not our own, but we're bought with a price. How do we bring him glory? We fight for peace. We contend for peace. How are we to be an effective witness in our world if we are stuck in worry? If we're stuck in fretting, if we're stuck in turmoil, God needs the gospel of peace. The gospel can only be preached from a platform of peace. If we don't live in peace, how can we be the gospel of peace on display for our culture? We were never meant to walk this life alone, as we've said before. John 16:33. Says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Jesus is talking here. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That's all we need right there. The peace that passes all understanding comes from Jesus. Yes, we will have trials. We will have sorrows. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And we need to take heart because he has overcome. Amen? Amen. And that's what God has put on my heart for this. Let me pray over you before we go, because that's, I don't think I need to add anything more to that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of peace that we can have right now. Help us not to partner with fear, but to hide and to walk in your peace every day. Bring to our mind scriptures of peace that when our life is in turmoil, and remind us that as we live for you, peace will soon follow. And thank you for being the peace within us. Amen? Amen. Will you make this declaration with me at the bottom of that page? Ready? I declare that I carry peace. My peace is not linked to my circumstances, but found in direct relationship with my Heavenly Father. I break off any fear or limitations that try to keep me from walking in perfect peace. I will testify of God's goodness, and I will not allow the enemy to steal my peace. Peace is mine today. Right now, right here, peace is mine. You need to claim that for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, thanks for listening. And come back next week as we worship and as we glorify him. And we want to pray peace over everyone. It's going to be so peaceful in here. We're not going to want to go home. Amen. Amen. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.